Great to be back in church together after the Christmas break. Hope you had a good one and that you enjoyed time with your wider families and that everything, I hope, was calm and peaceful and good all the time. I'm sure it was. I thought at the start, even though we met together last week had a short time together, I thought this, in many ways, this is the beginning of the year for us. So I thought I would share some reflections on last year and where God, I believe, is just stirring my heart at the beginning of this year. And I guess before that, I just want to say to us here and those that are watching that can't be with us this morning, that the fact that you're here this morning after the past 3 years, I just want to say well done. Well done. There was one time where I was visiting Chester with a car that I had, and the car broke down in Chester, and I lived in Southampton. And I said to a friend, I've just got to get the car back. And so, thankfully, a friend of mine was willing to sit in the car from the journey, not on motorways, but from Chester to Southampton. And I think it's 4 or 5 hours if you Google Maps it. We were in the car for 12 hours. I was in the car in the front with the heating on, the radio on. That was working. He had nothing. You know, the battery's gone. It's dead. And it was a right old journey. But the truth is, he could keep following me because we were tethered together. You know what I mean? We were connected together. Otherwise, I'd have lost him a million times on the journey. You know what it's like when you're trying to follow somebody through busy traffic in the car in front. But the fact that you're tethered means that you can just get to the same destination. And the fact you're here would say to me that you're tethered to God. Well done. After all the quick turns, left, right, here, there, false starts over particularly 2020, 2021, And so many handbrake turns as a church. Good for you being here. 2022 for me felt very much a year of God reforming church. You know, we could have a whole year last year without the interruptions of are we back, are we not back, are we online, and all that sort of stuff. And I just had an overwhelming sense of the beginning of last year that the Lord was calling us to have him front and central. He always is in a church. You know, the cross is always the key point and Jesus is always the most important. But there are times when you especially lean into that. And I just felt at the beginning of last year, you know, let's make this about Jesus. Amazed by Jesus is what we looked at in the sermon series at the back end of last year, for him to be our absolute focus. And for those of you that have been around a few years, those of you that have come more recently, you won't know this. We used to break our services in the middle. We used to have worship, then cakes, and then the preach. That's how we used to do church for most of our lives. And some of you are thinking, I miss the cakes, I miss the cakes. And get here at 10 o'clock. We've still got good biscuits and stuff and coffee. And get here and let's have time together at 10 o'clock. But consciously and deliberately, we've replaced the cakes with more worship. You know, that it wasn't just something we just came across. We just felt really stirred. So as a church, we wanted to go deeper in him. We wanted to experience him in a more profound way, that it really matters to me that, like we were praying a moment ago, that we know Jesus. So after the pruning and the false starts of 20 and 21, we finally got back to being able to, you know, really focus on Jesus. I was thinking around how God led us through those peculiar times. In Exodus, it talks about the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud. And it says, by day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. You see, 1,200 years before Christ was born, God's people were freed from captivity. They'd been captives to the Egyptians. God freed them. God freed them, and he led them through the desert with this miraculous, this supernatural pillar of light and pillar of fire. And it's like this symbolic thing. In the good times, when it's daytime, God will lead you. In the night time, when things are a little bit tougher, there's a pillar of fire still to lead you. And I guess my thankfulness to God over these last 3 years is you led us through some of the tough times. You've seen us through. We've come through because of you. And you have proved yourself even more faithful, certainly as a church leader, but I suspect it's true of you in your individual lives as well. Who'd have thought we'd have gone through what we went through? Nobody dreamt it or imagined it or anything like that. Nobody had that idea that that could happen. But the truth is the Lord led us. Thank you, Helen. Is that whiskey?
Last night.
that the Lord would lead us, that we would go through such tough times, and yet we've come out saying, yet again, we've been through a new experience and the Lord is faithful. And I'd want to encourage you to have a sense of thankfulness in your hearts that God has brought you through. You've laid hold of him, well done. But actually, he's laid hold of you and brought you through. And it's interesting, when this cloud led the people of God through this whole wilderness experience, there are times when it moved regularly and then the people of God would move. And then there were times when the cloud just sat there and they didn't move for ages. They just had to wait on God to say move before they moved. Waiting on God, waiting with God is never wasted time. Certainly in our culture, we're terrible at waiting, aren't we? Terrible at it. And yet with God, we're learning lessons. He's doing something. The cloud and the fire, they represented the very presence of God. You know, in the ancient times, when the general was in camp, he'd light a fire and the smoke would rise to say, hey, army folks, just to let you know I'm with you. You know, the commander of the Lord's army. And if we take the Joshua scripture, you know, the general is here. I'm in camp with you. We're fighting this battle together. We're seeing this thing through together. It's not a bad place to start, that, is it? At the end of the wilderness experience, Joshua has that encounter with an angelic being. So they've been led by this pillar of cloud and light, the presence of God, for 40 years, and now he comes as he's just about to take Jericho, and this angelic being greets him. He doesn't know quite what's going on. He looked up and he saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, are you for us or for our enemies? God, are you on our side or not on our side with all the stuff we're facing? I'm not just talking about the past 3 years. Some of you, this will be very relevant in our lives. God, are you on my side or not on my side? Neither, this being replied. But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. The general is in camp. It's okay what you're facing, because God is in your midst. Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, what message does my Lord have for his servant? There's that sense in which Joshua is coming to an understanding afresh. The question isn't whether, God, are you with me or are you not with me? God, are you blessing my plans, my hopes, my dreams? The question that the Lord asks back as we ask him is, wrong question, mate. Are you on my side? Are your dreams, your plans, your hopes, are you aligned to me? Because I, as the commander of the Lord's army, are here and I will see you through the next challenge. So God promises to be with us. He's proved himself faithful for 40 years. And even at the end of that journey, he comes and asks the question again. Just checking, by the way, John. Are you on my side? Do you get it? The wilderness is a strange old place. As you know, one of my favorite quotes is from John Ortberg. The desert is the place where you learn to love God for God's sake, not just milk and honey. That's why I say well done at the start, because when things aren't easy, that's that time when we get that sense of, how's my heart doing in this connection with God? I want to love you, Jesus, just for who you are, not for all the great blessings you bring my way, which you surely will, but it's you that I want to know. Fascinating, isn't it, that they'd come out of slavery, the people of God. You know, he'd led them out miraculously through the Red Sea. And so they're free whilst they're in the wilderness. They're not in ultimate freedom when they cross into the promised land, but they're in a measure of freedom. They're no longer under the instruction of Pharaoh and that type of stuff. They're no longer slaves in that way. But in the wilderness, they had to get Egypt out of them. They'd got out of Egypt, and they had to get Egypt out of them. And there's a sense in which, as things opened up last year, it feels to me as a church, gosh, we've enjoyed the freedom that we've had. But we've still got to get a bit of the last 2 years out of our system and get back in that sense of, God, what do you want us to do? You've protected us. You've watched over us. You've led us this way. You've led us that way, and we've followed. But Lord, help us get back on the front foot as a church, believing for you, knowing where you're going to take us next. There's one instance where usually the Lord guided them with this pillar of cloud or fire, and they'd go and they'd follow him. But there was one time when Pharaoh's armies came, and God went behind them and watched their back and protected them from behind. Feels to me as though God has done a lot of that in recent years. So we move on to 2023. That's where I think we've been with 2022. Enjoying a measure of freedom. Certainly enjoying the relaxation that we can have of being together. But maybe God has been getting something of the previous 2 years out of us. So 2023, what is the Lord trying to stir us with? Romans 8:11 is the verse that's on my heart more than any other. And if the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is living within you, the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living within you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. The resurrection power of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit, this supernatural divine force that is beyond our understanding and our comprehension, lives in ordinary old me and ordinary old you. I don't know how the conversation went with the angels in ancient times, where the Spirit of God came on people occasionally for a moment to do a task and they left, and then it becomes clear to the angels that actually God's plan is that he's going to actually dwell in his fullness in the most ordinary beings on the face of the planet if they invite him. They must have thought, God, you're going to live in them? Have you seen them? They're average at best, you know. To be honest, they're a lot worse than that. And the great master plan of God is the fullness of God by his Holy Spirit dwells in your heart and my heart if we invite him in. And then something of that power is released as Jesus lies dead in a tomb, no breath in his body. And the Spirit of God revives his body and he breathes again. We've sang it already this morning. He breathes again and life, resurrection, occurs. And Jesus walks out of the tomb. And the scriptures say this heavenly divine power is in you and me. I understand that's about salvation in the ultimate sense, to become friends of God. I get that, but it's bigger than that. Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. You see, 2022 was a year of the church being reformed. My prayer is that 2023 will be a year of the church encountering resurrection power. There's a difference, you see. It's wonderful, the church being reformed. I hope you don't sense any lack of gratitude in my heart. I'm genuinely bursting with joy for what the Lord has done. But there's something within me where I believe the Lord has stirred my heart to say, hey guys, come on, my resurrection power is available to you. Starting to hear stories. Marriages restored that were dead in the water. Number of baptisms on the increase again in churches around the city. Most of you know that I lead the NG network as well as lead Eagle's Nest. Most of the churches in our network have got as many people involved in church or more than they've ever had. It's like, come on, Lord. Hearing conversations around churches being stirred to plant churches again. I don't know if you know the passage. There's a passage in Ezekiel where there's a valley of dry bones. Like, we're not just talking dead bodies here. We're talking dry bones where there's no muscle, no sinew. We're talking skeletons that are just dismembered for one another. If you've seen the film The Killing Fields, you've got the picture. A valley of dry bones. And the Lord says, Son of Man, prophesy to the bones. And then a rattle comes. And then the breath of God comes. And even the deadness of this valley of bones is restored to life with the resurrection power of Christ. I don't know if any of you remember, I was musing at the end of one of my sermons a year or so ago, I can't remember the date, of the difference between resuscitation and resurrection. You know, where somebody has been resuscitated and brought back to life pretty quickly after their time has gone. Wonderful though that is. Resurrection power of Christ is so much more. These are bones that are totally dead. Totally gone. And with Jesus, you see, so you've got this prophetic vision of valley of dry bones in Ezekiel. Then you look at Jesus, who walked out of the tomb in resurrection power. And the difference between him and anybody else is that he was never to die again. The resurrection power is permanent. It's forever lasting. Totally transformative. God, will you do things of permanence in our midst of a church? So I ask you, as a church, let's think on that level just for a moment. Can we be praying together for the resurrection power of Christ to be let loose in our midst? Stories of people a million miles from God receiving new life and new birth and coming to know him as their personal Lord and Savior. As a church, may we know people that have given up from God, that have stared at him in the dark of the night and said, I no longer believe that you exist. But may we be a praying church that believe our church will welcome people that say, just maybe I was wrong, and they will encounter the living God. Who's on your heart this morning, who seems a million miles away from God, either having never known him or given up on him? May we pray for the resurrection power of Christ to arrest their lives once again. It's fascinating with the reforming of church. I was at leading this part of the city prayer meeting on Friday night, and 200 people gathered there from probably 40 or 50 churches. One of the things that we found that's really fascinating, and somebody asked for a show of hands, how many churches have seen a greater level of ethnic diversity in their churches post-pandemic? And virtually every hand went up. You know, that sense of Christ has reformed the church, but it looks different to how it did before. Thank God. Of course, we mourn the loss of some ministries and some situations, but we lean into what God is doing. But beyond that, take my friend who runs the church in Clifton, who again would be part of that group. How many people have they reached from the multi-generational families that have lived in Clifton? It's the same here in Arnold, Sherwood, Mappily, Gedling, you know, the areas that we're looking at. Around us, yes, we've seen people come, and we thank God for everybody who's part of church. But what about those families there where their great-grandparents never knew Christ, their grandparents never knew Christ, their parents haven't known Christ? May we be a church that reaches those that nobody else wants to reach, because Christ is powerful and we believe in the resurrection power. It goes beyond me and my family and you and your family. God loves everybody. Just as an aside, incredibly simplistic, forgive me. My daughter's having a funny couple of years where she's moving a lot with the job that she's got. So living in different cities, trying lots of different churches. She's not the easiest person at times, if I'm absolutely honest with you, to welcome in church. You know, she's sometimes can be a little bit standoffish. I can say that. I'm a dad. I love her to bits. But she's been to a lot of churches. And the welcome that she's received at the vast majority is really poor. Really poor. Gone to some churches multiple weeks and nobody said hello. May we be a church that means this in our prayers and means this in our actions. A person standing on their own in our foyer is an emergency, you know. We want to welcome everybody because we want everybody to know they belong. Your work colleagues, your neighbours need to experience the resurrection power of Christ. Forgive me for telling an old story. Not many of you will remember it, or some of you will, but it was towards the end of my time at work, and I'm sitting having a meal with one of the directors. The place I was working at the time, they used to joke. I was an anomaly as a church minister. They found it really curious. Can't go into all that now. You know, they used to say, they excluded me from it, you can only work here if you can drink your own body weight in red wine. That was the sort of culture I worked in. And so this guy's sitting next to me and whatever, and he says to me, okay, it's this church stuff. It's late one evening. He's had his two steaks on the plate. You know, he used to always have two steaks. And he says to me, do you really believe this church stuff? I said, I believe it. And he said, I want to just tell you a story, and I need just get your take on it. And he said, me and my wife had come to a point of separation. It was a crisis weekend where it was all going to blow up. There'd been infidelity, it had been a mess. Everybody at work knew about the crisis weekend because another one of the colleagues had had the kids and told everybody with me. So it wasn't, I knew that bit was true. But this guy's sitting next to me and he says, we came to the moment. If I was you and you didn't know me, I wouldn't believe this story. Do you follow me? I'm just telling you the way he told me. He says, we come to the crisis moment in the conversation. And I don't know, he didn't make this clear if he was going to strike or if they were just really arguing a strong point. I don't know what was going to happen there. But he said, a physical force threw me to the other side of the room. This bloke was 20 stone plus, ex-rugby player. Threw me to the other side of the room. And his wife saw it, and it was like, gosh. And then he said he stood up, and it was raining heavy by the window. And he looked, and in the rain running down the window, there was a clear face of Christ. This is what he's telling me. I've never had an experience like this. It's like, my mouth hanging open. There's a clear face of Christ. And he says, I took a photo. I said to his wife, can you see this? She said, I can see that. See, the power of God had broken into their conversation. He said, I can see that. The atmosphere changes in the room. He gets a camera and he says, listen, I know about photography. It's a hobby of mine. I took a photo. It was before digital stuff. So he said, I got the film developed. All the photos came out, but not that one. He said, do you believe these things happen? I'll tell you what, I believe these things happen. I said, what's happened since? He says, my wife gets these Bible notes sent through in the post. To my knowledge, they weren't churchgoers. I didn't know any knowledge that she'd had any of this stuff. But she gets these Bible notes through the post. And quietly, I'm reading them every day. The power of God. Say it's 20 years ago, John. So on Friday night, we have this prayer for the city event going on. I get this WhatsApp afterwards. From somebody who was there on the event, and we're encouraging people to pray with one another. And she said this, God decided I'd need some pushing out of my comfort zone this evening. This is just a church person like me or you. And I went to introduce myself to a lady sat next to me and discovered that she had never been to church before. This lady finds herself in a prayer meeting praying for the lost in the city. You'd think you'd go on a Sunday, wouldn't you? If you're looking for church. You'd think you'd try Alpha or something. Finds herself in a prayer meeting. After some Googling, she'd come across the meeting tonight and decided to come along. Turns out that she lives just down the road from the lady that she was sat next to and seems really interested in coming on an Alpha course with her. She left smiling, saying she really enjoyed the evening. I believe in the resurrection power of Christ. And may we be a church that lay hold of this. So whether it's for us as a church, yes. Whether it's your work colleagues, your neighbours. Come on, church, let's be believing God to break into lives that are so far untouched by him. But let me just bring it home just a little bit more. May the resurrection power of Christ be at work in your family. Where are the dead bones around your family? Where's the hopelessness? Where's the lostness? Where are the situations and circumstances that seem beyond even the reach of Christ? He doesn't just want to reform church. He wants to bring new life. If the band want to come back. I'm just going to read those Ephesians 3 verses again, Julian. They're just below the message. So I read these again to you this morning. And where you see power, think resurrection power. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with resurrection power through his Spirit in your inner being. If you've lost something over these last 2 or 3 years, if something's died a little bit within you, this morning's a great morning just to say to him, breathe into me again, Spirit of God, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have resurrection power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love surpasses knowledge, and that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Let's stand and worship together.